Have Bibles, open them to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to continue our study on the duties of children to parents. And out of respect and adoration for God and His Word, would you stand with me as I read those first four verses of Ephesians chapter 6. And let's ask the Lord's blessing upon us. Now, Father, we ask that you bless now the reading of your word and the preaching of it. It's, Lord, may be informative to our hearts and our minds, our souls, our lives, that we might be built up and encouraged, that we might be corrected, and Lord, that we might be sanctified. Lord, take this word this morning and use it savingly to all who hear it. Lord, that we might conform to its teaching and be more and more like Christ our Savior. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, hear the word of Christ, Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Now, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And thus ends the reading of God's precious word. You may be seated. Now, brothers and sisters, to recap our introduction last week, this is part two of the duties of children to parents. I want to continue addressing I want to remind us of a little bit of our introduction just in this way, that Paul addresses the duties of children to parents in two ways. Number one, he deals naturally, the sort of the law of nature, if you will, where he addresses that in verse one, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Paul addresses this natural activity that children should obey their parents. It is unseemly, it is unsightful, it is monstrous when you have children that do not obey parents. Paul understands that naturally this is natural. That when parents give birth to children and they raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and take care of them, provide for them, educate them, clothe them, minister to them in so many different ways, it is but natural for children to obey their parents. The second thing Paul uses to emphasize the duty of children to parents is the Word of God. Now, it's not just natural for children, it's the offspring of parents, to obey them and honor them, but it's commanded in God's Word. It is revealed in God's Word that children should and must obey and honor their parents. And he quotes here the fifth commandment. Paul says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So Paul addresses the duties children have to parents in two ways, that which is natural and that which is revealed in God's word. So there's no way around it. There's no way around it. Now, of course, Paul here is addressing Christian children. Paul here is addressing the children of the church of Ephesus. Paul is encouraging the children to listen to the pastor as he writes this epistle, and he says, listen, children, obey your parents. It's natural. But also remember, it's revealed in God's holy word. Honor your parents. Honor them. Give them deference. Give them respect. Show honor and respect for their person, their office, for who they are, their characteristics, as their person. Show due deference and honor and respect for their office they hold in God's providence. They are your parents. How many of you ordered your parents? Okay, that's what I thought. So God has given you the parents you have. All right, how many parents ordered the particular children you have? We couldn't do it. So we parents have the particular children they have in God's providence. Okay? So we need to remember that. We need to recognize that. But see, we live in a day and time in a culture that finds it easier and easier to correct God. God's wrong. See, if God really knew what he was doing, he wouldn't give me the parents I have. If God really knew what he's doing, you know, he wouldn't give me the children I have. I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, we see it today in the all of the transgender kind of thing, you know. God made a mistake. If there is a God, he made a mistake when he made me. I should have been a boy or I should have been a girl. So I need to fix it. I need to correct it. See, we live in a culture and a society that is becoming more comfortable, more and more comfortable correcting God. And it shows you the level and degree of disrespect we truly have for authority. I mean, how dare somebody question God? How dare somebody accuse God of being wrong? Right? And I say that with all authority given to me as a pastor. I say that with all affection as a pastor. I say that with all the strength I have to recognize, how dare anyone question God? Remember, God had to correct Job about that. Who are you, O man, to correct me? Where were you when I set the stars in the sky? Where were you when I fashioned everything from the voice of my mouth? Where were you putting Job in his place? And we need to be put in our place today. We need to understand from the exposition of God's word that there are natural systems put into the earth, like the family, that deserve due honor and respect. And Paul is addressing this with children. This morning, let me sort of give you a brief roadmap to where we're going to go. I'm going to address more than anything this morning. I'm going to address disrespect. I think it's going to be important for us to identify what disrespectfulness looks like. Now, why would I do that? Is it because I think we're just riddled with disrespect in this congregation? Well, that's not necessarily true, but I do know this. We all have the seeds of disrespect in our hearts. We all carry with us, because of the fall of mankind, because of the noetic effect, the effect the fall has had upon our minds, the effect the fall has had upon our emotions and our desires, beloved, we do naturally, in our fallen condition, struggle giving due honor and struggle with obedience to superiors. So it's something we need to address. It's something we need to recognize. It's something that we must not be foolish about and deceived by. No one here can truly say, I have no sin in the area of disrespect and dishonor. So I want to spend some time this morning addressing dishonor. I want us to look at some various passages of Scripture where this dishonor is severely rebuked by the Lord. I want us to see it. I want us to make sure that it's not just that you walk out here and the children say, well, you're tempted, guys, to think this is Pastor Stanfield's opinion. You're tempted to think, well, you know, this is Pastor Stanfield's a parent, and this is sort of a hobby horse. This is a time for Pastor Stanfield to sort of, you know, to get at the children. That's not the case at all. Not the case at all. Because what you need to realize this morning is the Bible actually has a whole lot to say about disrespect and dishonor of parents. Now, we looked at two passages of Scripture last week that talked about the decline of society when the Holy Spirit listed in those two lists that we looked at of those grievous sins of disobedience to parents was among that list. Romans chapter 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 3. Right in amongst, I love that word, right in among all of these heinous sins and crimes, we see disobedient to parents. So we must take it seriously. But we're going to look at some other verses. This will give us an opportunity to ponder, reflect, meditate upon this grievous, and like I said, unnatural condition, but even more so, a disobedience to God's revealed will. Let me read to you what Lou Priolo said about disrespect. He says, disrespect is first and foremost an attitude of the heart. It's rooted in the sins of pride and selfishness. It is a root out of which flows all manner of other sins, i.e., resentment, abusive speech, and even hatred. So he identifies this dishonor and this disrespect as a root sin. Root sins give fruit to other kinds of sins, and that what we must do in order to deal with dishonor and disrespect, we have to go to the root. We can't just deal with sort of the outward appearances. We got to go deeper than that. It's not enough just to correct abusive speech. It's not enough just to correct outward bursts of anger. It's not enough. You should correct it. You certainly should deal with it, but you can't stop there. You've got to go to the root if you're going to weed it out of your life. He goes on, he says, disrespect has to do with not esteeming others. Of course, here, referring to parents. Not esteeming your parents more highly than ourselves. That is, oftentimes when children struggle with dishonor and disrespect, they are failing to esteem their parents as more highly than themselves, which the Bible commands us to do. It's a belief that we are wiser, smarter, cooler, and otherwise better than others. And we see this all the time. I mean, we see this all the time. We hear it in our music. When I say our music, I mean cultural music. We see it in movies. It's displayed prominently and proudly upon the big screen. We hear it in most of the music out there is of a rebellious stripe in nature. Okay, you go bombarding yourself with this, and particularly young men and women, when you don't show discernment. At least know what you're hearing. At least hear what you're hearing and don't get caught up just in the beat of the music, but hear what they're saying and how what they're saying is absolutely offensive to Jesus Christ. He says, beyond this, it's not giving others honors that they are due. In some cases, it's actually showing contempt for them. And we see that a lot in parent-child relationships. In fact, I believe many of the school, the philosophies that the school systems participate in, the fruit of that philosophy is contempt for parents. The fruit of it. Because it is rooted in pride, disrespect loathes humbling itself in the presence of others by treating them as if they were in any way superior. You see, pride is a big issue when you fail to give honor due to your parents. It's a pride issue. He goes on and he adds this little comment. I thought it was a good one. He says, yet ironically enough, these young people who showed contempt and disrespect to their parents, the irony is they long for what they refuse to give others. They want to be seen as high prized, but they refuse to show other esteem. But they want to be esteemed. So you can see it's a very pride issue here. Let's look at a couple of passages of Scripture. Deuteronomy 20:21. Again, we're going way back, but still, this is applicable because this was the Moses wrote this in order to help Israel stand apart and separate as they went into the land of Canaan because of the debauchery in Canaan, because of all of the various tribes there and the way they lived. Let me tell you something. Children were not prized in the land of Canaan, and neither were the parents. It was an abusive situation. Abusive. You know, abuse is a word that we're hearing more and more today, isn't it? Abusive situations. Canaan was very abusive in its relationships. God is sending the Israelites in to displace these people and to begin to rebuild that society. And so Moses gives them a law. Look with me at Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 20. 18 through 20. Let me explain it. Now, this is how much God hates rebellion. Now, and this isn't necessarily a child here. Even though he's dealing with a parent-child relationship, he's not talking about a 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 13, or 14-year-old. And you'll see this in a second. Look with me at the passage. If any man has a stubborn or rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of the city in the gateway of his hometown. And they shall say to the elders, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard." And then all the men in the city shall stone him to death, so that you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. Now, it's common today that when we read passages like this, people are just first offended. How? Who would stone a child? This passage is not talking about a child. I've never known a child to be a glutton or a drunkard. This text is explaining an older adult who is a son, who is incorrigible. He will not be corrected. He has squandered opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and now he has received into his bosom the character of his deeds. He's a rebellious, wicked person. You know, that's a character trait. He has done this so much and so often, now he is seen in the community as a rebel and a stubborn person. Here's what we need to understand about the mind of the Lord and see this. Notice what he says in verse 21, that all the men in the city shall stone him to death, so that he shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. Brothers and sisters, listen, rebellion and dishonor and disrespect is contagious. It's contagious. Why? Our hearts are fallen. We gravitate to the least. We gravitate to sin. We have to fight it. And when we get around the crowds and when we get around those who are influential over us, you can have somebody you really like as a friend. And if that friend bears some character trait, good or evil, you want to imitate it. When it's evil, guess what it produces? Evil practices. And so you have this contagion, you have this rebellion like a disease, and the Lord said it must be cut off. For the young man who refuses to listen. And then we have other passages where the young man is a striker, he abuses his mama, he abuses his father because he's a drunkard and he's a wicked person. He says you must deal with them, you must put them out of the camp. And this was capital punishment. But this is not after the first time or the second time or the third time. This is a life. Notice, probably all his young adult life, he has been rebellious and stubborn. And now he's a young man. I say young man, I mean probably in his 20s. He's a young man. And guess what? He's useless. How is he useless? He's a glutton. What is that? Somebody who's nothing but their appetites. A glutton is somebody that can't control their appetites. A glutton is somebody that they want to eat all the time. They want to just have fun all the time. They want to have entertainment all the time. It's about me, 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 me. And he's a drunkard. He can't control himself. He's useless. Turn to Deuteronomy 27:16. I got to be careful not to spend too much time on this because I think these are needed today. These passages of Scripture help us understand God's mindset. Deuteronomy 27:16. Now remember, these are the blessings and the cursings. Chapter 27 is the cursings, but look at verse 16. Cursed is he who dishonors his father and mother. Cursed, not blessed. Cursed. And notice what all the people should say. Amen. It should be an agreement. It should be something that all of the covenant people of God agree with. Look at Proverbs 30, verse 17. And the eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. I mean, you see these harsh, these very surprising and difficult passages of Scripture to teach us what? What God thinks about dishonor and disrespect. This is the mind of our Lord about the matter. You think, look at Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22 and verse 7. Now remember, Ezekiel's the prophet in Babylon, and Israel's been exiled. Babylon has come in and taken over Israel and have exiled many of the Israelites into Babylon. Ezekiel was the pastor in Babylon. Ezekiel was the prophet that went to Babylon to help God's people in Babylon learn to repent of their sins. That's what he was doing there. He was preaching the word of God and the promises of God and telling them, look, you got to cultivate repentance. You need to walk in repentance because if you do, God's going to restore you. And notice verse 7 of chapter 22. Now he's dealing with the sins of Israel here. Or look at verse 6. Behold, the rulers of Israel, verse 6, each according to his own power, have been in you for the purpose of shedding blood. They were abused. They abused their power, the authority figures did. Look at verse 7. They have treated father and mother lightly within you. What does that mean, lightly? It means to show contempt. The Hebrew word there is to show contempt. That is, one of the characteristics of Israel as God exiled them into Babylon was that, by and large, in the society they lived in, they showed contempt for father and mother. Now, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, or I hope you can see it. Do you think our society is very much like that today? I do. You think society, by and large, shows honor for parents or contempt for parents? Contempt. And I'm going to get over some of those things. Now, look at our Lord Jesus. He dealt with this in Matthew 15. You know, the Pharisees had a way of dishonoring their parents. And the Lord took great offense to this because the role of the children as the parents were to nurture and raise them up in the admonition of the Lord and build them up and educate them and provide for them the opportunity that they could make a living and start a life of their own. They also have the duty and responsibility of caring for their parents when the parents get old. The Pharisees didn't want to do that. See, the Pharisees did not want to spend their money on their parents. And you got to understand something. They had inherited their inheritance from their parents, but then they took that inheritance and they didn't use it to keep the word of God and take care of their parents in their old age, they had a tradition, they started a tradition that would allow them to not help their parents and aid their parents. Now listen to what Jesus says here. Verse 1, and some of the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Now notice what you have here. The Pharisees are accusing Jesus' disciples of being hypocrites because they break the traditions. They don't wash their hands. Jesus, in verse 3, answered to them and says, why do yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father and mother is to be put to death. Look at what Jesus just did. Jesus just confirmed the capital punishment of the Old Testament. And then he's questioning, he said, who's the hypocrite here? You call my disciples hypocrites because they break the laws of the elders. I'm calling you hypocrites because you break the law of God. Which is worse? Verse 5, but you say, whoever says to his father and mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God. How spiritual. He is not to honor his father or his mother. And by this you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites. Now I'll stop there. So here Jesus, he says, listen, they have a tradition in order for them to get out of providing for their parents. They said, we are going to start a tradition that says we can dedicate our income to God, so therefore we don't have to give it to the parents. Because it's going to be used for God, holy purposes. And Jesus just condemned that tradition. And Jesus went even further and says, you're the hypocrite here. So I just want you to see, that's the last passage we'll look at along those lines. But I want you to see, brothers and sisters, the Bible takes a very strong stance on this issue. I don't want you to walk out of here and think, well, you know what, this is, you know, it's a minor point. It's not a minor point. This sin of disrespect of parents and authority figures is one of those sins that erode communities and churches and families and nations. It's a wicked, eroding type of sin. Okay? Let's look at some of the popular excuses today. Had went back and pulled out some of my counseling journals to be helpful with this, but there are a variety of excuses used today in order to convince young people that they don't need to give honor and due respect to their parents. I'm going to read some of these. First of all, you may recognize them. You might even believe some of these. If you find something that you really agree with, I hope a red flag goes off. Listen to them. Number one, you are the master of your own destiny because of the potential within you. Not one, not even your parents, has the right to dictate to you anything. Now, that might sound a little far-fetched, but believe it or not, I hear this a lot. I hear this a lot. You're the master of your own life. No one can tell you what to do. In fact, the only cooperation is what they would call it. The only cooperation that happens in the modern home today is just due to the fact that we're going to just choose to get along. That's not Christianity. That's not Christianity. Christianity doesn't adopt the philosophy, well, let's just get along. No, Christianity adopts the mindset, the showing from the heart, honor, respect, obedience to those whom it is due. You think about Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. How prideful is it when a young person says, nobody has the right to tell me what to do? That's so prideful. And the Bible tells us that if this is you, you are destined for a great fall. a great fall. Number two, God wants you to feel good about yourself. Find someone that will help you excel and feel good about yourself. Now, that's a very popular one today, too. There's nothing wrong with feeling good. In fact, I prefer it myself. But I prefer it on God's terms, because there is no such thing as proper emotions outside of what God teaches us and outside of what God explains to us. Number three, well, let me read another verse that philosophy or idea contradicts. Proverbs 21, 2 through 4. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do righteousness and justice is desired before the Lord more than sacrifice. Haughty eyes and a proud heart. The lamp of the wicked is sin. I mean, if we have pride in our hearts, if we have haughtiness in our hearts, everything we do is sinful. Everything we do is sinful. Number three, look at the mess your parents have made of their own lives. How could they possibly give you any legitimate guidance? Wow. Look at the mess your parents have made of their own lives. I mean, this is the things that they hear in school. These are the things they hear among their normal and natural peer groups out there. Proverbs 20, verse 11, it is by his deeds that a lad distinguishes himself if his conduct is pure and right. Matthew 7, 1 through 5, do not judge so that you will not be judged. It's interesting that the child or the young teenager has developed over the last, 14, 12, 13 years, 15 years, they have gained enough wisdom to know the lives of their parents. That's foolish. It's foolish. Do not judge lest you be judged, for in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured out to you. The Lord teaches us, children, that by the way you judge your parents, you're going to be judged by that standard. Okay? And one of the things I've often recognized about people who are critical, young people particularly who are very critical of parents, they don't use the same standard on themselves. They're very lenient when it comes to their own character. They're very lenient when it comes to their friends, but they are harsh, they are strict, and they are burdensome to the parents because they want to condemn their parents. That's the goal in being overly critical, is to judge them and put them in the worst light possible to justify your arrogance, your pride, and your rebellion. Number four, certainly there are going to be times when you and your parents are at odds with one another. When you disagree, learn how to write stories and write down how you feel about it and how you want to deal with it. Put all your anger down on paper and then you will feel better about yourself. Of course, I mean, some of these we laugh at, but honestly, they didn't make these up. These are things that are being said in popular circles. And we have to recognize, first of all, anger is not something you ought to encourage. Anger is something that only has to be dealt with in Jesus Christ. You have to put off anger. You don't cultivate anger. You don't journal anger and cultivate it and fantasize about it. You put it away. You kill it. You repent of it. The Bible has a lot to say about an angry man, and none of it is good. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about righteous anger. I'm talking about sinful anger. Number five, explain to your parents how much you are being deprived by their not allowing you to have or to do what you want. Tell them what you think about them and how they have been mistreating you. All right? Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. What is that verse teaching us? Don't be so focused on yourself that you condemn others for not giving you what you think you need. Now, let me say this. When you're dealing with young people, I know this sermon is primarily geared for tweaking your interest, but we as adults need to know this, repent of this, see these character traits in our own past, so we have we dealt with them properly. But here's what you need to understand. As you begin, a lot of this philosophy out there teaches us to focus on ourselves. When all you're doing is introspection, all you're doing is looking into your own heart, when all you're doing is trying to figure out what your own interests are, when all you do is focus on you, who is the center of your world? You are. It would help if you would learn to focus on God and others and address yourself through the service of others. You will learn more about yourself rightly when you serve others and the Lord than you will looking deeply into your own heart trying to figure things out. I promise you, you will fail at it. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:9-10 that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? Verse 10, but I, the Lord, search the heart and the mind to give to each one according to their ways. It's the Lord that knows us. And it's the Lord that gives rewards accordingly, our chastisements. But this mentality and this mindset, it's just me, and it's spilled over into the church. And I'll tell you, parents, this is something we need to be very careful of, because one thing we don't want to be guilty of is creating children that can never be satisfied. I hope this resonates with us. Children that will never be satisfied with a job. Can't have a career because nothing is never ever on their terms. They're always dissatisfied, and that dissatisfaction are not legitimate dissatisfaction. They're not satisfied because they never learn to govern their own hearts by the service of God and others. They never learn what commitment is. I'm going to say this, it's going to maybe step on some toes. You can deal with it with me afterwards. It's like starting activities, you know, all these lessons of all these different things, never required a son or daughter to finish anything. I see it in sports all the time. He wants to play this, and they buy all the equipment. He plays the sport, and all of a sudden, he don't want to do it anymore. He's tired of it. And then, of course, he lets the team down. Why? Because he said he made a commitment. Music lessons. Schoolwork. I mean, commitment. Honing and cultivating. But what happens is when we allow these philosophies to seep in, maybe unaware, these philosophies to seep in, not only are we creating discontentment in our children. They're discontent with their parents because the parents aren't meeting their needs. They're discontent at their school because the school doesn't see them as great as they really are. And their jobs, their future jobs, what about their future husbands and their future wives? They can't satisfy them. What about their church? The church can't satisfy them. You see, it's this perpetuation. This stuff doesn't just end when they leave home. They take it with them into their home, into their families. Number six. Now, I won't be able to do all of these, there's too many, but there are other adults who are more understanding and kind than your parents are. Find a sympathetic adult in church or in your school and tell them your problems. If necessary, go to a professional counselor. If your parents do not understand, it's not necessary to try to communicate with them. That's popular advice. You know, just find you a new father figure or mother figure. The problem is, though, that teaches us to run from our problems. It teaches us to run from the issue. We have Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. And remember, Paul is dealing with a Christian home. We don't run from our issues. We should be facing them in Christ so that we might address them faithfully and honestly and sincerely before the Lord, that we might in the end be blessed by God and He would cultivate and bring even to a greater affection in the whole circumstance. If all else fails in dealing with problems at home, leave. You don't need the frustration or the pain. Just leave. Of course, what about Romans 8, 28 and 29? And we all know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, consider it all joy, my brethren, whenever you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Did our Lord Jesus run from hardship? No. He faced it in the honor of his Father. He said, I come to do all that my Father sent me to do. He did it unto his own death. And look at the fruit of that. The result of that was great. That's why we're here. Well, I think that's enough of that. How would we define honor? We've already hit on some of it, but let's look at it as more. We would define honor as esteeming highly your parents for their person, for who they are, for their office as parents. God put them there. And for the nurture and care that they've given you throughout your life. It is evidenced in the following actions that I'm going to read here shortly that should be cultivated in each Christian young person. An adult who still have parents and superiors. Honor is, now listen to these three words, these three participles. Honor is loving those around you biblically, esteeming others better than yourself. It's learning to love your neighbor as you desire to be loved. It's listening to those over you with interest and delighting in their counsel. So, what does disrespect look like? Or what's the motivation of disrespect? Let's look at a couple of these. The motivation of being disrespectful. That is, you may be disrespectful when you want to divert attention from yourself and keep your parents from asking you to do something. That is, you hear your name called and you don't answer. When you hear your name called and you don't answer, that's a sign of disrespect. And the mother has to call it again, knowing the whole time you heard it. Or knowing the whole time, what are you doing? Nothing. Not answering appropriately is this, it's disrespectful. Number two, you may be disrespectful when your parents, when you want to get even with them for not giving you what you want. I'm not even going to be nice to you. I'm going to be rude to you because I'm mad at you. It's disrespectful. You may be disrespectful when you want to show your protest. That is, it may have been something that happened last week or something that happened a month ago, but now you're going to protest it because you've nurtured these sinful affections. And now it's going to burst. What's the fruit of nurturing those sinful affections? A burst of disrespect. Or you may convince yourself that this is just who you are and you're not going to change for anybody. This is just who I am. Deal with it. Or you may show disrespect to manipulate your parents so that they, now listen to this, to manipulate them so that they would respond sinfully to you so that you can make yourself feel better. You know, listen, there is something that will tweak my buttons, and that's disrespect. And you're probably like that too, parents. There is something unnatural. It's just, it's degrading when your children show disrespect. And children learn to manipulate the parent in order to invoke a sinful response because they know the tendencies of the parents. They know the daddy's not going to like this and he's going to charge. He's going to come in both barrels. But I'm going to demonstrate to them they're not as high and mighty as they think they are. It's manipulation. And it's sinful. You may show disrespect and dishonor just to complain, to state your case, possibly to just test your parents. How far can you push them? How much can you get out of them? What can you get them to do to control the situation? You know, the issue is really A, but because now the parent has to deal with disrespect and the abuse of the child to the parent's authority, now that has to be dealt with, so A's put on the back burner. And then lastly, to justify your own sinfulness and contempt by pushing your parents to act unreasonably towards you. That is, when you act unmannerly and disrespectful to your parents and they come down with sanctions, all right, you're not going out to do this. You're not going to Six Flags. You're not going to do these things. That gives you the opportunity to tell your friends how mean your parents are. That gives them the opportunity to tell your friends how unreasonable, how illogical, how dumb, how stupid your parents are. Now, let me give you some promises. Let me give you some reasons and some motivations why you shouldn't want to be disrespectful to your parents. These are important. Number one, because God promises you a happy life if you show them honor. Look at Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you. Well with you. What does the term well with you mean? That it may be in your life well-being, happiness, fruitfulness, blessedness. This blessedness belongs to those who show proper honor and respect to their parents. The promise of God for a long life. Verse 3, and that you may live long on the earth. See, God's not a Platonist. The blessing is if we show proper honor and respect to our parents, and this is why it's important to understand, it flows from our parents to other authority figures. It begins in the home. If you can't show your parents the honor due to them, you're not going to show the pastor, you're not going to show the policeman, you're not going to show anyone else, the boss. Honor due them. You always talk about them, complain about them. You'll manipulate them too. Starts in the home. Long life. Another motivation is to repay your parents with honor because of the nurture and care that they have provided for you. Number four, honoring and obeying your parents is working out your salvation in good works. It is your sanctification. Remember, we dealt with the sanctification of the husband. We dealt with the sanctification of the wife. This is the Christian child's sanctification in righteousness. If you want to tell everybody I'm a Christian, you want to wear the Christian t-shirts, you want to do all of these things, then it begins here. Show honor and respect and obedience to your parents. This is your sanctification and righteousness. Fifthly, learn to love them more by loving the ones closest to you more. You want to learn how to love? Don't watch movies. You're not going to learn how to love by watching movies. You're not going to learn how to love by listening to sensual songs. You learn how to love by following God's law and loving the people close to you the best. If you can't love those closest to you the best, you can't love at all. Any love that you give to others that aren't as close to you, that you haven't benefited from like you have in a relationship, is hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. It's hypocritical for you to love and have greater affection and honor for others who have no connection to you whatsoever than your mom and dad. Sixth, be an example to others. Let me tell you something, Christian young people. Don't be led by the world. Be an example to the world. Don't be led by the world. So many Christians are led around. It's like a rings in their nose. And they're just like this. And they just go with the crowd because they want to be accepted so much, so badly. Be an example. And I'll tell you this, and I've counseled a lot of young people in my time. The truth is, they want examples. Those young people, I've had them in my study, tears. I want to love, I want to honor my parents, but I just can't. And they say, they've so habituated themselves to wickedness. They want what you do, but they're so full of pride and arrogance they can't admit they're wrong. And they don't want the world to see them as being not cool. So you need to understand, be an example for them. In order to prepare for marriage, learn to respect your parents so that you would learn to respect your spouse. Learning to respect your parents, be gracious. Learning to be gracious. You know what? When children become so critical of their parents and can't even be corrected about it, that's a child, I promise you, is going to have a hard life. They're going to have a hard life because they don't know how to be gracious. And gracious, listen to me. People that are not gracious don't have friends. They don't have friends because nobody wants to be your friend. Be gracious. Learn to be gracious with the people closest to you first. And lastly, beloved, to obtain, this is going to sound funny, but work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Walk in the good works laid before you in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and then you will reap the rewards of your labors in heaven. There's rewards for those who walk in the law of God. 1 Timothy 4, 8. For bodily discipline, or exercise, is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. That's a promise in Scripture that what you do in this life will follow you into the next. And if you do good, cultivate goodness, graciousness, honor, respect, love for those closest to you and out, guess what? It will follow you with rewards into the next life. Those are all good motivations to help us put off disrespect. I'm going to read a list. I know I've been reading a lot of lists, but I think it's been good for this particular lesson. You know, not all sermons are alike. This is good because this is very instruction-oriented. It's to help our young people because, you know what, we live in such a culture of disrespect. I'm going to go through several characteristics of disrespect. And here's what I want you to do, young people. I want you to see if this describes you, okay? Number one, now this is related to parents. When you refuse to talk to your parents, you're showing disrespect. Now, I'm not going to repeat disrespect all the time, but no, that's what we're talking about. You're refusing to honor them when you refuse to talk to them. By rolling your eyes at them, raising your voices at them, by calling them names, you're crazy, you're silly, that's immature. By telling them no, by threatening them, by looking at them angrily, by withholding affection from them, by scoffing at them, by willfully disobeying them, by cursing them, by being rude and unmannerly, by refusing to be corrected, by interrupting them when they are speaking, by not being attentive to them when they are speaking. You ever get that? I'm going to tell you, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. But by even common grace standards, this was corrected in the home I grew up in. I mean, it was corrected. You know, I think there's bygone generations, two generations ago, understood the need for respect and authority. And when they, you know, in my home I grew up in, when you called your name, you were to be going towards the voice with yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. You were to look in the eye when you were spoken to. You were not to look away or walk away while they were speaking. And I tested it a few times. And I was corrected. So, but I think better, generations ago understood this better. Particularly the unmannerly, rude portion. We laugh at this stuff. We think it's cute. It's not cute when children are disrespectful. It's not cute when they are rude. It's not cute when they do unmannerly things in public. The whole point is they are a reflection of the parents. And it's interesting when you try to teach, one of the duties of parents is to teach manners to their children. And it's because of society, we're connected. And it's interesting how children will reject that and they want to be their own person. They want to do their own thing. They want to identify in their own way. And this is the lie of Satan. All right. By murmuring or complaining against them, this is even bad with siblings. You know, you go complain to your brothers and your sisters. By comparing your parents to your friends' parents, is it showing dishonor for your parents? It's not the same house. Not the same rules. So-and-so gets to do this. Doesn't matter. We have our reasons. By condescending attitude, by contradicting your parents, and by making your parents look ridiculous. Now, how can you show your parents love and honor? Listen to these. By being attentive to them. Now, let me say this about being attentive. Go and read Proverbs. How many times does Proverbs use the word listen? Listen, my son. Treasure my words, my son. Listen to the things I have to tell you, my son. Being attentive, showing interest, being interested in what your parents are having to say. Show them affection. Express gratitude. Commend your parents to your friends. Obey your parents' instructions. Say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Not because they make you, but because you're honoring their place and their person. And you want to honor them. You want to honor that mom and dad. Smiling at them. Asking them for their opinion. Following their advice. Using good manners when you're around others. And being a good reflection upon your parents. I'll promise you this. Listen to me, young people. And that's something that we would say, whenever you go out the house, people are going to judge your parents by what you do. They're going to judge your mom and your dad by what you do and what you say. Be mindful of that. And if you're out, and I remember growing up and I would be invited to go to church. And I was not a Christian. They all knew I was sort of the token unbeliever of the bunch. You know, so whenever they had their big Sunday school parties, they'd want Jess to come along, you know, and get him saved. And I didn't want anything to do with church. I didn't want anything to do with Jesus. I didn't want anything to do with religion, because those guys that took me to Sunday school class so that I could, you know, be evangelized, guess what they were doing on Sunday night? they were out doing worse things than I was doing. I was afraid to do the things they were doing. So I had no respect for these church people. I saw no difference in their lives. That's the way they will see you if you don't live the life you're supposed to live. What use is it? Spend time with your parents. Don't look to sit with them, talk with them, spend time with them, pray for them, honor them in public when you get the chance. Admit to your parents you were wrong. Ask forgiveness. Help with chores around the home. Talk to them and cheerfully receive the answer, or by talking with them cheerfully when you receive the answer no to your request. I mean, everything's sweet and nice when you ask it. But when you get no, the world's falling apart. When you hear the word no, deal with it honorably, respectfully, lovingly. Okay. Believe your parents have your best interest at heart. And look at them when they're talking to you. Are just a few ways, beloved, that we can show honor and respect to our parents. Now that ends the lesson for this morning. And I know it's been tedious, a lot of information. I'll be glad to email you some of these if you like. But listen to me. Don't forget the promises. And don't forget, you can't do this without Christ. Look back in Ephesians. Let's close our lesson, but look back at Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Let me say this, young people, you can't do it without the Spirit of God. You can't do it without Christ. If you want and you desire to be honorable and obedient to your parents in the stage of life that you're in right now, because you won't always obey your parents. I mean, you're going to grow up, you're going to get married, but you'll always show them honor. You're going to always honor them. And you desire to do that, flee to Christ. Flee to Christ. You can't do it apart from Jesus Christ. You can't do it apart from being filled with the Spirit. This is the moment, brothers and sisters, we grow up, we become sanctified, we die to ourselves, and we live unto Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for this passage of Scripture that speaks to us, Lord, deeply in our hearts, that we might be able to, Lord, grow up ourselves in our homes, our church, Lord, in this culture that we live in of rebellion and stubbornness, Lord, that we might be salt and light. But Lord, bless us with Christ Jesus, that we might be able to honor those worthy of honor, that we might be able to show respect to those, Father, we need to give respect to. And Lord, bless us as your people in our sanctification. If there be any here today, Lord, that does not have sincerity of honor and obedience toward parents, I pray now you'd save them, give them your Spirit. Put your word on their hearts, Lord. Put Christ in their minds, and Lord, bring them to yourselves. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.